In the last 50 years, human habitation on Earth has gone from being two-thirds rural, one-third urban, to nearly the opposite. It's the lure of higher incomes and a more exciting lifestyle that helps draw people to the cities. But once there, they often encounter a different reality. There are few well-paying jobs and no land for poor people to feed their families with subsistence farming. Instead, they now fill immense shanty towns that ring the cities of the developing world. These poor cities will remain squalid unless people find a way to have dignity and take pride in their surroundings. As part of Border Stories, a series by Homelands Productions, Alan Weissman takes us to the northern Mexican state of Sonora to meet people who are trying to do just that.
Look how many of these things there are. There's thousands of them. And they're going all up. I keep wondering, well, who's occupying it?
I mean, we're just on one segment of it, Alan. If we drove you around the city, you'd see it's surrounded by these things.
I'm driving with home builders Bill and Athena Steen through one of the many housing projects shooting up around Ciudad Obregón, Sonora, Mexico, birthplace of the Green Revolution. Obregón is known as Mexico's breadbasket because it's surrounded by over 1 million acres of wheat. But lately, more and more fields are disappearing under rows of identical, uninsulated concrete boxes that go for miles.
Puny little houses with no space for anything. No space to grow anything, no space to do anything. Just, you know, and particularly in the hotter months of the year, just to suffer and just swelter in these things.
Nevertheless, Mexico wants to build 760,000 of these cubes a year to meet its exploding housing demand. Yet at $20,000 for a unit under 500 square feet and with a 20-year federal mortgage automatically garnished from your paycheck, you have to have made it to the middle class to own one.
What shocks me is that there are this many people who would want to live in these things.
Oh, God.
But there's a lot of them.
Athena Steen is from New Mexico's historic Santa Clara Pueblo. She first met her husband Bill when he came to see a house she'd built with super thick walls made from bales of straw stacked like giant bricks and then mud plastered. Bill, who's part Mexican and grew up in an adobe home in Arizona, was impressed. Years later, married, they co-authored a best-selling book titled The Straw Bale House. In 1994, the Steens got a call from the Save the Children Foundation here in Ciudad Obregón. The director wanted to know if a locally abundant waste product, wheat straw, which just gets burned after harvest, might serve as building material for people too poor even to live in faceless housing projects.
So where are we going now?
We're going out to an area totally on the outskirts of town, beyond the colonias, called Xochitl. These people that we're going to be visiting, the houses that we'll be seeing, are actually squatters on what is ejido property, community property.
Soñé que Cristo regresó y me quedaba.
The ejidos were public lands worked communally by Mexico's small farmers since the days of the Mexican Revolution, until the government recently privatized them. The displaced former peasants now are part of Mexico's huge underclass, clinging to urbanity's edge in huts of discarded sheet metal, plywood scraps, cardboard, and laminated tar paper. Most can't even afford straw bales. Yet this Sunday, 60 people are gathered at a church construction site outside Ciudad Obregón. They're giving prayers of thanks. Miraculously, they all now have snug, beautiful homes.
It'd be lots of mud. You can make miracles with mud.
Athena Steen, Juanita Lopez, and Juanita's sister-in-law, Guillermina, stand at a trough made from a 55-gallon drum sliced lengthwise. They're up to their elbows in chocolatey muck, mixing it with handfuls of straw tossed in by Juanita's daughters. The women wear long skirts, the girls are in lacy white Sunday dresses with purple ribbons. But no one seems to mind the mud spattering their clothing.
Athena, what is the percentage of straw to mud? Do you have any idea?
That's a good question for Bill, since I don't think that way.
What's that?
What's the percentage of straw to mud? play.
It depends who mixes it.
Emiliano said about 60-40. That'd be about
right. Yeah, so that's about right. Mm-hmm.
That mixture produces bricks much lighter than conventional adobe, but with the great advantage of straw bales. Cool in the summer, warm in the winter. They're also water-resistant and strong enough to use for the tall church underway here in Xochitl. And they can be cut with machetes to special size without crumbling, like for this vaulted roof that Juanita's husband Emiliano is putting on the house he's building for his mother.
In traditional brick and block construction, they dig a hole, toss the earth aside, and pour in something else. We're using the earth they toss.
Nice mud?
Ooh, nice mud, like cream, whipping cream.
Over a pan of sizzling chili peppers, sisters Elisama and Rebecca Lopez recount how things have changed around here.
Here there is no water or power. It would get so hot in a cardboard house you felt like you were in an oven. Many kids were dehydrated and had stomach illness.
Their husbands had promised they'd build better houses, but years passed and they were still living in shacks.
We waited and waited, but the men were always away working, even though they earned very little, barely enough to eat on, certainly not enough to build with.
Then the Steens were invited down by Save the Children. They'd soon realized, however, that many people spurned humble materials like straw and adobe. Only cement symbolized value and progress. They decided they needed to build a showcase. The result was Save the Children's 5,000-square-foot office building, a classic courtyard design with vaulted and domed roof.